Well, good early Sunday morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. Matthew 12, verses 1 through 14. As we get into this message, I do apologize that the inconvenience of the flooding that we've had. Ville Platte is a very low area, and it floods much easier here than probably most other areas in the parish. That may be a little more uphill. So there from time to time when weather hits us very hard, very fast, we have to make some hard decisions very quickly about what we do for our services. But praise God, there is online services. So here we are going live to you. Kind of reminds me of what we had to do through the COVID time for those 6 or 7 weeks. So Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 through 14, religion may inoculate you against a relationship with Jesus Christ. Religion may inoculate you against the real thing, against Christ, a relationship with Him. So we've arrived in a part of the chapter in Matthew chapter 12 that's really a turning point in Jesus' ministry. So Jesus has taught His disciples, He's ministered to His disciples, and He's ministered there in Galilee for some times. He's had miracles. Last week, if you remember, He didn't have good things to say about three of the cities that were there because they were all rejecting Christ. They enjoyed the miracles. They enjoyed all the things, the benefits that Christ was bringing, but they were not impressed that He was the Messiah. Well, it turns a little worse today. And we'll see that. Even in chapter 13, we'll begin to see a little bit more about it. But chapter 12, we begin reading in verse 1 how the things that Christ has told us begins to open up our eyes. Verse 1 through verse 14. At the time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And His disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to Him, "Look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on a Sabbath." But He said to them, "Have you not read?" And you can underline that in your Bible. It's very important. "Have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions? How he entered the house of God and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priest alone? Or have you not read," there's another important one, "in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here." He's talking about Himself. "But if you had known this, what this means, 'I desire compassion and not sacrifice,' you have not condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Departing from there, He went into their synagogue. And a man was there whose hand was withered. And they questioned Jesus, asking, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse Him. And He said to them, "What man is there among you who has a sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath? Will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then He said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and it was restored to normal like the other. But the Pharisees went out, conspired against Him as to how they might destroy Him. Let's pray together. Father God, today I pray for the reading of Your Word. I pray that Your Holy Spirit will bring it to life to us. And God, help us to understand what Your Word is telling us and what Christ is preaching and teaching to these Pharisees, these very religious people. Lord, I pray that we have a relationship with you and not just religion. Teach us by your word today in Christ's name. Amen. So verse 14, if we want to conclude there, the Pharisees went out and conspired against him. So we see that now the Pharisees are starting to kind of make a plan, conspire to kill Jesus Christ, one of their fellow Jews at that. And you remember last week we talked about chapter 11, verse 28, that Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Meaning that we have peace with God in Jesus Christ. And since we're no longer in rebellion against God, that peace floods our soul. Ironically, rest is the very thing, this very argument, the very issue that Jesus and these Pharisees are at odds here about in the beginning of chapter 12. That leads the Pharisees to wanting to kill Jesus. So we're going to learn something about the heart of God in the heart of the law today. So verse 1 says, "At the time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain to eat." So Jesus just spoke about rest in the verse that we just read. And here we have him moving on a Sabbath, which was made for rest. So we need to grasp something here, what the Sabbath had developed into for the Jews, in order for us to get this understanding of why these Pharisees were so furious at Jesus. Because if we start talking about, for us, a Sabbath, a day of rest, we use it as a Sunday, and we'll talk about that in just at the end of the service. But that for the Jew, it was a Saturday. Why were they so focused on rest on that day? And what made them mad? Because Jesus was traveling on a Sabbath day. So we need to take a little time, actually a good bit of time in this message, to build up and understand and grasp why. And if we understand why the Pharisees were so big on the Sabbath, it'll help us as we do our studies throughout the New Testament, why the Pharisees were so bent on the Sabbath day. So let's get started on that. See, for the Jew, the Sabbath had become this holy grail in this Jewish religious system. It was the center of all their religious and devotional, legal, and ceremonial world. Everything the law of God stood for was really captured in their idea, example of this one day of the week, the Sabbath. Because over the course of Jewish history, the Jews kind of swerved off of the path of what God intended for the Sabbath day to mean. Man, did they get off course really bad. They literally made a religion out of what God meant for to be a foreshadowing sign that pointed to Jesus Christ. That's all it was. The Sabbath day, God set it aside as the seventh day. He rested. It was meant for us to rest, mankind to rest. Why? Because that was pointing strictly toward Jesus. What did Jesus just say in the last chapter? He says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus is the rest. But they had built this entire religion on a shadow of the Savior. So imagine, ladies, you're outside standing in the sun, and the sun has brought a shadow and cast your shadow upon the ground. Your husband or your boyfriend comes out, and man, he's checking your shadow out, but he's not really checking you out. He's more interested in your shadow than he is in you. Matter of fact, he's falling in love with your shadow rather than falling in love with you over and over again. His love is expressed to your shadow rather than to you. How would you handle that? Well, that's exactly what the Jews were doing. the Sabbath was only a shadow of Jesus. That day of rest was really pointing to the man of rest, Jesus. But the Jews were so infatuated with the shadow, they really weren't worried about the Messiah who was standing right there in front of them. The Sabbath, as a day of rest, is a shadow of Jesus, who is the one that we find our rest in. So in Jesus, we have peace with God and rest for our souls. So the Jews focused their religion around the Sabbath and yet rejected this relationship with Jesus, of whom the Sabbath day was pointing all along. Well, how did that happen? How did a whole group of people get so focused on what, you know, on just a sign, on just a shadow, rather than actually looking for the Messiah that Jesus, that God sent in Jesus Christ? How did that happen? Why was the Sabbath such a big deal to the Jewish people? How did it become the high crest of Jewish life? It's great questions. We know from creation back in the book of Genesis that God worked 6 days creating. He created man on the sixth day, and he rested on the seventh. That became our Sabbath. But sometimes we don't quite get that in Leviticus 25, that God actually gave a sabbatical year, a Sabbath year. So God made a promise to Israel, if they worked for 6 years, he would produce and he would prosper them those 6 years, so much so that in the seventh year, they could take the whole year off. Hey man, who wouldn't buy into that? Woo, a whole year off? And God promised them that's what would happen. Well, you know, human beings like we are, when you're really not chasing after God and you're really not pursuing God, you start having 6 great, successful, wonderful years. You know what? Man, we're making a lot of money. What we're going to plant next year, the seventh year. We go right on through what God has said for us to do, and we start doing it our way. We take it all upon ourselves. The Israelite people did the same thing. They began to work that seventh year and the eighth year and the ninth year, 14th year, 21st year, on and on. They did that for 490 years. They lived in rebellion against God. So, what did God do? To bring them back, to give them the rest that they need, he sent King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon down into Israel and to destroy them and to bring the thousands into captivity over in Babylon. Do you know how long they stayed in captivity in Babylon? 70 years. So what does that mean? Well, if you take the 490 years that they rebelled against God, every seventh year that they were supposed to rest, you divide 7 into 490, you get 70. God forced them to rest and to think about what they had done. Sometimes God gives us a time out in life too. So here we are, the Jews, like, we're never going to do that again. We're never going to ignore what God has promised us to do. So now the Sabbath day has become a big deal to the Jewish people because they remember what life in Babylon was like and they don't want to go back there. They want to get it right with God. Well, they overdid it now. Sounds like us many times. After being in captivity for so long, man, that left an impression on the Israelite people. So here they are. That's why they built their whole religious system around the Sabbath. A second problem that we see, that was the first problem. The second problem is really compounded by their emphasis on the Sabbath, was revealed in this fanatical distortion of God's word. So not only were they you know, emphasizing, over-emphasizing the Sabbath, now, man, they really took God's word and began to to distort it a lot. Because in the first five books of the Bible, in the Torah, there are 613 laws, including those are the Ten Commandments also. And the fourth commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, says, remember the Sabbath day, which was a Saturday, and keep it holy. They begin to overemphasize here. So these laws that were governing our relationship or their relationship with God and with one another, man, they were pretty straightforward. They were straightforward. Yet the rabbis, you remember what Jesus preached about so much on the Sermon on the Mount, was trying to straighten out the people's thinking. The rabbis here, they began to give an oral interpretation of what the law meant to the average Jew. Well, then they began to give so many of these oral traditions and interpretations, so they needed to write them down. And they wrote them down in what we call the Midrash. Not in your midsection of Midrash, but Midrash. So it was now the oral interpretations of the 613 laws written down in form, called the Midrash. The Midrash, then, is the biblical interpretation or rabbinical interpretation of the 613 laws of God. Then the rabbis begin to interpret the Midrash into another important book called the Mishnah. So, as their writings continue to grow, God's word kept getting more and more distorted. It started out with 613 laws, and it went to a Midrash, and then that wasn't good enough, so now here we are in the Mishnah. And then that began to get interpreted also into what they call the Gemara, which is a component of the Jewish Talmud. Think that's all confusing? So what you had was 613 laws that had an oral tradition that was getting so big they needed to write it down, so they had a written Midrash. Then the Midrash was interpreted into a Mishnah, and then the Mishnah was interpreted into a Gemara. It ended up with 523 books in 22 volumes to explain the 613 laws. I say all that. Do you see how distorted God's word with the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, got to the Jewish people? They so distorted God's word that you couldn't even recognize it anymore. An example of this: the Jewish Talmud, which is the writings together, there are 39 categories of the way that you can violate the Sabbath day. And in those 39 categories that you could violate the Sabbath day, there's 39 subcategories in that. Here's an example of one. It kind of gets plain silly. Is that on the Sabbath day, you cannot spit into the dirt. Because if your spit hit the soil, hit the dust, and it moved the dust a little bit, which it would, that dust is soil, and since it moved, that's considered farming, and farming is work. You are in violation of the Sabbath. So you begin to see how crazy, silly, complex it began to get for the Jewish people about the Sabbath. The only thing all these rules and regulations did was to create a burden on the people and made it impossible to rest on the Sabbath day. It was no wonder the people were carrying this heavy burden of religious madness around. That's why Jesus says, oh, you're burdened and heavy laden, you know, come to me, I will give you rest. So you can see why Jesus was so aggressive and so forward with these Pharisees in this text this morning. The Jews had created this huge, complex mountain chain of legalism around the Sabbath day, and Jesus was going to blow it right out of their minds. Because in verse 1 and 2, it says, at the time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath day. This is the holy grail for the Jewish people. And his disciples became hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said, look, your disciples do what is not lawful on the Sabbath. So in verse 1, there's an incident. So the disciples are in the grain fields picking heads of grain to eat. And in verse 2, we see this Pharisees are indicting them on the guilt of breaking the law on the Sabbath. So in verse 1, Jesus' disciples are moving from one location to the next. Oh, there were laws too that you could only walk so far on the Sabbath day. Here Jesus is. He's moving along, and they pass through a grain field of a neighbor Jew, and the guys are hungry. So they go in and just start plucking grain heads and beginning to get the kernels of grain out. According to these fault-finding Pharisees in verse 2, the disciples were violating at least four of these rabbinical rules of the Sabbath. The first one, that they were even traveling on the Sabbath. The second one is that they were harvesting on the Sabbath. The third one is that they were threshing the grain out. And then they were winnowing, is the fourth, winnowing the grain. However, get this, the disciples were actually doing what the law gave them permission to do. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 24 and 25, it says, when you enter your neighbor's vineyard. So the law in the Old Testament gave them permission to go into their neighbor's vineyard, and they could pick as many grapes as they could eat. It says, then you may eat grapes until you are fully satisfied, but you shall not put any in your basket. So you can't take any, but you could eat as many as you wanted. When you enter your neighbor's standing grain, then you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not wield a sickle in your neighbor's grain. So listen, they could go into their neighbor's field and pluck the grain, but they couldn't cut it. So in other words, you could eat as much as you wanted while you're kind of like a buffet. You can eat all you want, but you can't take any home. So these disciples walking along became hungry. So they went to a neighbor's field. They plucked the heads of grain. They rubbed it in their hands to get the kernels of grain out of there. And then they blew the chaff out. And that chaff is it left out of their hands. The Pharisees saw that as winnowing. But God saw that as feeding his people. You see how complex these Pharisees had made things, and Jesus is poking them right in the chest when he's telling them this. So according to the law that we just read, they were completely in their rights. The law of God provides for the people to take care of their neighbors in such a way. People could not harvest the grain to take it away, but they could have as much as they wanted to eat while they were in a field. A buffet of wheat, a buffet of barley, a buffet of oats, whatever, buffet of grapes, but take none home. Why? Because the law of God, what we just read, is one of love and of mercy. There's love and mercy when a neighbor is hungry coming through your area that you allow them to feed on what you have, that you are showing hospitality to them. They're not trying to get rich off of you. They just need a little food. That's love and mercy. But religion distorts that. See, religion sees the disciples as picking, as harvesting. The rubbing the hands is threshing, and blowing the chaff away is winnowing. all while traveling on the Sabbath further than the law permits. This is not the law of God. This is the Jews wildly misinterpreting it. So the Jews were so focused on all those other books that had been written that they really forgot what the law said. They forgot what God's law really said in His Word. They were just going by what Rabbi so-and-so said, or Rabbi so-and-so said, this interpretation out of this area. And it got so distorted and silly, trying to govern every area of a person's life. And it wasn't done in love. It was done in legalism. See, God is not after our religion. God is after how we are to lovingly relate to our neighbors. That we treat one another with love, respect, and mercy. That's what the law of God is really showing. And Jesus is taking these Pharisees to school about it. Matter of fact, John chapter 13, verse 35, from the English Standard Version says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another." It is love and mercy at the heart of a relationship in the law of God. So when these Pharisees begin to accuse Jesus' disciples of breaking all these laws about the Sabbath, how does Jesus respond to it? Well, he doesn't get mad. Jesus just starts to teach. He just takes them to school a little bit, verse 3. But when he said to them, "Have you not read?" That's important because the Pharisees were big readers. But they were not necessarily big readers of the Word of God. They were big readers of all these other books that were written. He says, "Have you not read what David did when he became hungry and his companions? How he entered the house of God and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those which were with him, but for the priest alone." You see, in Jewish culture, there were moral laws, there were ceremonial laws, and there were civil laws. So Jesus is referencing a ceremonial law, not a moral law that would have been a sin. So Jesus is reminding these Pharisees that even their beloved King David broke the ceremonial law. Wasn't a sin. He just broke what their norms were, their ceremonial law. So Jesus just takes these religious leaders and schools them right back to the Word of God. Verse 3 says, "Have you not read?" Because these Pharisees took great pride in reading the Jewish religious writings that we mentioned. "Have you not read what David did? Their beloved King David." Everybody wants to have their lineage traced back to King David. And Jesus is pulling him out and saying, "Listen, have you read what David did in 1 Samuel chapter 21? See, remember, David was kind of like a national hero. Here he is in 1 Samuel chapter 21. He's on the run. He and his men are out in the wilderness, and he's really became an enemy of the state of Israel. And he's hungry, and he's in the area of Nob, and he goes to the synagogue there, the tabernacle there, and tells the priest that he's hungry and he wants the bread out of there. Well, that bread, when they bake it, was actually there for, there was 12 pieces of bread or loaves of bread, the show bread, that stood in the presence of God. Each loaf of bread represented one tribe of Israel. And they had to change it out from time to time. Well, David wanted some of that bread. Well, that bread was actually meant for the priest to eat. But because David was hungry and his men, his companions were hungry, that were running away with him, the priest gave him the bread. So David broke a ceremonial law and is recorded in their own word. Why? Because the love for David was greater than their ceremonial law. the compassion and the mercy upon David, who was starving, was greater than their ceremonial law. So Jesus acknowledged that it was not lawful for David to eat the bread, and David broke this ceremonial law. But we need to understand what the ceremonial law of God is: subservient to the need of man. David legitimately breaks the law of God, and God is not angry with him. Why? Remember what Jesus said when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40 says, and he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. And the second is like it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, this is real vital for us to get. On these two commandments depend the whole law and all the prophets. Man, it's greater to show love for our neighbor, love for our Heavenly Father, when they're in need, that we show mercy upon them, because the love that we show them, the love of God going to from God through us to them, man, that's what all the law hangs on. That's what all the prophets hang on. If there's no love in it, then it just becomes rigid and cruel legalism. So what's the primary purpose of the law of God in the Old Testament? To show man that he could never keep the law and that he needed a Savior who could. God intended for man to feel the weight of the law on his sin in order that he may see the need in his life for a Savior. Colossians chapter 2 tells us that, verse 16 and 17. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to festivals or new moon or Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Man, Jesus is the substance. He is the light who shines brightly on the law of God, making it a shadow. All the law of God does is point toward Jesus. All the Sabbath does is point toward Jesus. Jesus is the rest that the Sabbath only foreshadows for all who believe. One to whom the law and the Sabbath was to point men is here in person. And his name is Jesus. Jesus is telling these Pharisees, man, you've just missed the heart of God, because you've been majoring in those shadows and you're missing the one who's caused the shadow, and that's Christ. You're in love with the shadow and not in love with the Savior. And you know, sometimes we need to evaluate that. Sometimes we get so in love with religion that we miss that relationship with Christ. We're so concerned about checking off the box about going to church and doing this right and doing that right and doing this right and doing that right that we actually miss Christ and the freedom that he gives to us to live the life that he has planned for us. Mark tells us this in chapter 2, verse 27. He says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. We were not made for the law of God. The law of God was made for us, because the heart of God's law is love and mercy. So in the case of David, yes, you can set aside that ceremonial law. He's taking these Pharisees to school here. You can set aside that ceremonial law to feed a brother who's in need. Verse 5. Then he goes up a little bit more. He says, have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priest in the temple actually break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. So Jesus is bringing to the Pharisees' attention that the very priests who are serving in the temple that they love so much, they're working on the Sabbath. said, they're breaking their own Sabbath day law because they're working. But no one wants to say that. We celebrate today. Who's working? You see, they were breaking the Sabbath day law. But verse 6 is where we focus. Because Jesus is telling us there, but I say to you that something greater is even with you. Something greater than the temple is here. Jesus is claiming divinity right before him. He said, man, he said, I was with you with your tabernacle. That was the tent that when they were coming out of the nation of Egypt and going to, and God established with Moses to build a tabernacle, a tent. That tent then, after they got established in the promised land, they built a temple. And Jesus is saying, I was there. Because the presence of God was in both, in the Holy of Holies. And Jesus says, I'm greater than your temple. He said, man, I invented the temple. I invented the tabernacle. I was there, but listen, I'm standing in your presence. I'm here with you now, and you don't even recognize me. He's claiming divinity here. Verse 7. But if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not sacrifice. That's Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. You would not have condemned the innocent. He said, listen, Pharisees, if you would have actually read the Torah, read God's word, instead of all these other books that these rabbis had written, if you'd actually know God's word, you would not be condemning the innocent. And Jesus is referring to his disciples who were eating in those fields as innocent because God's word gives them the right to do that. Jesus is just, I mean, he's nailing these Pharisees because they had gotten it wrong for so long. He just keeps pointing them back to God's word, what God's word really means. Quit reading all these other books, these extracurricular books, so to speak, that's an interpretation of an interpretation of an interpretation. And man, get back to God's word. If you have read it like you said that you read it, you would know that we're fine, that we're innocent. Verse 8, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is clearly saying to them, the Pharisees right there, I am God. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I invented it, and I will tell you what it means. So now we're getting some insight why they wanted to kill Jesus so bad, as we read in verse 14. And Jesus took them to school, but in doing that, he's now claiming before them, I am God. I am greater than your temple. That is my word. I was in that tabernacle, I was in that temple, and I'm standing before you as God, and you don't even know me. That infuriated these Pharisees. But Jesus didn't back down. Verse 9 says, departing from there. So Jesus didn't cut and run the other way when he said that. He said, departing from there, he went on to the synagogue where they were meeting. That was their church place, so to speak. And a man who had a hand that was withered, a man was there whose hand was withered. Now, if you go into Mark and Luke, it tells you the same story. But it also tells you that the Pharisees had kind of positioned that man where Jesus would have to run across him because they were trying to trip Jesus up. And what were they going to get him for? If Jesus healed the man, they were going to nail him for practicing medicine on the Sabbath day. See how silly the belief system they had. A lot of part of verse 10 says, and they questioned him, the Pharisees, and they questioned Jesus, asking, is it lawful to heal on a Saturday? And here they are in the synagogue. This man is there with a withered hand, probably had not been withered his whole life. It was a temporary thing. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Wanting to accuse him. Verse 11 says, and they said to him, what man is there among you? And he said to them, what man is there among you who has a sheep, one sheep? And if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? Are you going to leave your one sheep in that pit that will probably die by the next day? Or will you take hold of it and lift it out, which is work? Verse 12, for how much more valuable than a man is a sheep? So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Because you see, if Jesus wouldn't have healed this man, it would have been a sin on Jesus. Why? James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Verse 12, so then is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Verse 13, then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out and was restored to normal like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how they might destroy him, kill him. So Jesus, listen, goes there. They kind of position the man in his pathway as he's going to the synagogue, and they ask him a question when he's there. The man is there by him. Said, is it right that you heal on the Sabbath? Jesus told them a little story about the sheep. Then he calls the man front and center in front of everybody. And Jesus, the other gospel says that Jesus kind of looked around. He wanted to make sure all their attention was right here on what he was doing for this man. He just spoke the word to him. Stretch out your hand. He stretched out his hand to Jesus, and he was made whole. Oh, listen, for us, when we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit regenerates us. The Word of God is brought to us, and it's made effective in our life. We respond in faith and repentance, and we're made whole. You see, Jesus made this man whole, but it's a great understanding of what he does in our life. That he makes us whole, and he wanted all of those witnesses to see what he had done in this person's life. Oh, when Christ has changed your life, he wants other people to know for you to tell them what he's done in your life. Show them the difference that Christ has made. So Jesus had to take these religious leaders to school, and he had to remind them, man, they just missed the point. Everything that they had been saying for a couple of years when he was just, they had just missed it completely. And the people of God, the Jewish people, were just under this heavy weight and burden. Because the heart of the law is not to push people down, but man, the heart of the law is having mercy and love toward others. So a question comes up for us. How merciful are you toward other people? How merciful are you toward other people? Do you hold grudges? Do you take the opportunity to push somebody down who's doing well? Maybe they offended you in some way, offended your family member in some way, and yeah, you were angry at them. But do you still give grace and mercy to them in some form or fashion? The closing question is this. So the Jews made a big deal of the Sabbath, which was on a Saturday. Why are we as Christians now gather on a Sunday? A couple of quick things about why we worship on Sundays. Because the Sabbath for the Jews was a ceremonial law, not a moral law. It was a ceremonial law, not a moral law. Second thing is this. is that Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath. The Sabbath day was just a shadow of Christ, who's the real deal, who's the real thing. He's Messiah. He's Savior. He's the one who gives us rest. We also see in Hebrews 4:10 and 11 that Jesus Christ is our Sabbath, and we worship him on Resurrection Sunday. So all the things that we understand about Christ, he's fulfilled the law. He is our Sabbath rest. We rest in him. The Sabbath day for the Jews was a ceremonial thing, not a moral thing. And in Christ, his resurrection was the first day of the week. And so we celebrate the resurrection of Christ as born-again believers. We take Sunday to be our day of rest, our time that we set aside to worship God, to celebrate Christ, because everything that Christ has done has bought our salvation for us. We simply believe in repentance of our sin, and the gift of salvation is ours. Jesus teaches some hard lessons. Sometimes it's a little confusing to kind of work through all of that. But as we study God's word, now we begin to understand why the Jews look at the Sabbath in this big, big way. Because they had created their whole religious system around that one day that goes all the way back to them remembering lessons that they learned the 70 years that they had spent in Babylon. Let's pray together. Father God, today we learn some lessons too. God, sometimes we mess things up so badly. Lord, you kind of give us some slack to do that. And sometimes it's just enough for us to learn the way that we should walk, the life that we should live for you. God, let us not be so controlled and so emphasizing other writings that people try to interpret your word, but God, let us be about your word, and through your Holy Spirit you bring it to life to us. Or give us grace. Let us be more merciful people and loving people toward those who are in need. And we celebrate you today. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our Savior, our Messiah, our deliverer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.